The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. If you want to be an educated person, you have to learn to see the world from a perspective broader than your own. You have to learn to see from a perspective broader than that of your own culture, and broader than that of your own country, and maybe most importantly of all, if you want to be an educated person, you have to learn to see the world from a perspective broader than this little sliver of time in which we happen to be living. To understand who we are, why this world is the way it is, we have to understand how it is that we got here. What made us the way we are? You know, they say that the study of history isn't so much about knowing the past as about the ability to understand the present. For example, imagine someone claims to know you, but they've only known you for 10 minutes. They don't know you at all. Not unless they know all the things that happened to you to make you who you are today. Your family, your upbringing, highs, lows, traumas, all of it makes you who you are. Similarly, if you want to be an educated person, you want to understand the world in which we're living, you have to learn to see this world from the perspective of at least the last 500 years. Or better, from a perspective of the last 1,000 years. And the further back you can take that perspective, the better. And many, many things open up for you and become clear, a very small sliver of which is our ability to understand why, when the church celebrates the feast days of ancient saints, like today's feast, the Feast of St. Luke, why we know so little about these people. And part of the reason is because ancient cultures didn't really care about all the specifics of biography that we care about today, their hair color, how tall they were, their favorite hobbies. Ancient peoples didn't care about those things. What they cared about is what someone contributed to the well-being of society. That's what made someone memorable. So the fact of the matter is, we celebrate the Feast of St. Luke today, and we know almost nothing about his life. In fact, there's only three things we know about the life of St. Luke. Three things. Number one, Luke was a companion of St. Paul. Luke was not one of the 12 apostles, as many people think, just because he's got a gospel with his name attached to it. Luke learned his Christianity from the preaching of St. Paul, such that when you hear the Gospel of Luke, what you're really hearing is the Gospel of St. Paul. Second thing we know about Luke is that he was a physician or a medical doctor. St. Paul says as much, says, "Luke, our beloved physician." And when you look through Luke's Gospel, you'll find something real interesting. Luke describes medical terms like no other Gospel writer does. For example, Mark will say somebody's sick. Luke will describe his symptoms. Right? That was his bread and butter. He was a doctor. The third thing we know about Luke, and the only other thing we know about Luke, is that he was a martyr. But nobody knows where. Nobody knows when. Nobody knows how. Was he crucified? Was he stoned to death? Was he beheaded? Was it in Greece? Was it in Rome? Nobody knows. Now, by today's standards, we wouldn't canonize somebody a saint, but back Then we ask, what did they give to the well-being of society? And Luke gives us his writings. Now, before I tell you about that, let me tell you about this. Why do we have four Gospels? And when you look at them, you say, well, three of those four Gospels overlap each other and repeat the same stories, and why didn't somebody just write one big Gospel, right? There's one super Gospel. Why do we have four Gospels? Whose bright idea was that? Well, the reason why we have four Gospels is that every Gospel tells us something about Jesus that the other Gospels don't tell us about. So picture a man in an art gallery, you know, and he's watching maybe he's looking at a sculpture, and he moves to the side, and he sees more, and he moves to the other side, and he sees more. Well, we've got four points of view in the four Gospels, and all of them tell us something about Jesus better than the other ones tell us. For example, if you hear the Gospel of John, you hear about the beauty of Jesus' divinity. But if you turn to the Gospel of Mark, you learn that Jesus was a flesh and blood human being just like you with feelings and emotions. And he's great at that. And if you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, you see that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. But when you turn to the Gospel of Luke, you realize Jesus is the Savior of all the world, even of us Gentiles. And there's five things that Luke does in his Gospel better than anybody else does in any other Gospel, and here they are. Number one, Luke is the Gospel of joy. Not that the others don't, but. Have you ever looked at your Christianity and thought that, you know, Jesus comes down from heaven just to put a heavy cross on your shoulders, threaten you with hell, and tell you that, you know, if you don't just toughen up, you're not going to make it into heaven? And a lot of people, they live their whole lives like that, right? Luke is the Gospel that reminds us that this is good news. Luke is the Gospel of joy. He's the one who says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who never did anything wrong. You like the joyful mysteries of the Rosary? All five of them come from Luke. Another thing Luke does better than any other Gospel is tell us about mercy. Now, once again, not that the others don't, but, you know, Luke does it best. There are some hours in which I turn to God and I say, Lord, I sure hope that what everybody says about your mercy is true, because daggumbit, I really need it. And then you turn to the Gospel of Luke and you hear stories like the Good Samaritan or the prodigal son, found nowhere else in the whole Bible, only in the Gospel of Luke. You hear the story about the 10 lepers and you learn how rich, how deep is the mercy of God. Here's the third thing that Luke does so well, and this one's so important. Luke is the only Gospel to tell us about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Without Luke, we would know almost nothing about the Mother of God. They say that Luke knew Mary personally, because how else could he have gotten stories that are found nowhere else in the Gospels, stories like the Annunciation? Who was there? Mary and an angel. Who's the only one who could have told us about that? Had to come from Mary herself. They say that Luke used to sit in her living room and listen to her tell stories. You like Christmas? We would know nothing about it if it wasn't for Luke. Once again, you know, Joseph died young. The only one who could have told us a story was the Blessed Mother. Without Luke, we've got no manger, no shepherds, no angels singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Another thing Luke does better than anybody else is he tells us that Jesus came for the poor. Not that others don't, but Luke really does. It's, you know, Luke is the one that tells us about Lazarus and the rich man. And Lazarus just wants a lousy crust of bread, and the rich man is letting food spill on the floor, and the dogs are eating it. Couldn't care less about people in need. And in the end of all things, the rich man goes to hell. Lazarus goes to heaven. Or the story of the man with the grain silos. That's coming up on Monday for Monday's Gospel. You remember the story of the guy who's got so much money, all of his grain stored up in silos, and he's going to enjoy life now. He's going to take it easy for decades and decades ahead. And God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be taken from you. And where is all your grain going to go? Prophet Isaiah said that when the Messiah came, he would be good news to the poor. And Luke tells us that better than any other. And you know the fifth thing that Luke does, and this is so important, is he tells us that Jesus founded a church. Now, not that the others didn't, but what Luke does is he writes a sequel to his gospel. It's the only gospel with a sequel. The sequel to the Gospel of Luke is Acts of the Apostles, and it tells us that what Jesus did in time, right, that's in the gospel, but what Jesus does through the church is in Acts of the Apostles. So important. Especially when it's so easy to tell ourselves, I'm a disciple of Jesus, but you know, I don't really follow the church. Well, there is no such thing. The church is the body of Christ. You literally cannot follow Jesus without also being a good member of the church. Without Luke, we wouldn't know that. Where would we be without the Gospel of Luke? Greatly, greatly impoverished. So here's a question for you today. Where would we be without you? Not you as you are, sitting right there in the pews. Because you sitting right there in the pews, you're probably a mess, right? How about where would it be without you the way God wants you to be, purified, sanctified, detached, having done penance? Where would we be? Greatly, greatly impoverished. And how important it is that we follow the Lord as best we're able. Only Luke can do what Luke did, and only you can do what you're going to do in the church. Every time one of these gospel writers said yes to the Lord, we learn something about who God is that no other gospel writer could tell us. And every time you and I say yes to the Lord, something of who God is revealed to the world. So let's say yes with all of our heart, shall we? And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. Saint Luke, pray for us.